Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
I had Juliana's brother, Larry. We married Juliana's brother, Larry, and Tamara. I always get messed up with Tamara because I was so terrified because I kept on calling her Tamara, and she doesn't like Tamara. And then I was going, Tamara, that's not it. And I'm like, holy cow. I went home with my wife, and I was like, Tamara, 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 Tamara. Then when she came down the aisle, I said, would you, Larry, take, holy cow. And I said, Tamara. And she looked at me funny, and I went, oh, no, I blew it, you know? And later when we were signing, I said, I did say your name right. She said, yes. I said, oh, you looked at me funny, and I got so nervous. I was like, supposed to say, you, what's your face, you. Take him, will you, please? Somebody take him, you know? Now, Tamara told me that her idea of an ideal man, you know, we do these little homework assignments and things with people for pre-marriage counseling. She told me her ideal man, I said, write down your ideal man and why that's your ideal man, just so we can help Larry know, you know? But she said the ideal man for her is Mr. Potato Head. And I thought that was pretty interesting. So she gave me four reasons why. She said he has a nice tan. He's really cute. You know, he knows how to accessorize. And if he looks at another girl, I can rearrange his face. So I said, that's great. So we had fun with that. You know, so. But we got Noel, and Noel, I'm really bad with names. Your wife's name is Janine. Janine was the maid of honor. And so it was an awesome time. And these guys are in the ministry. They pastor in South Africa. So we're really excited to have you guys with us today. Thank you. Whoa, it's Easter Sunday. All I had to do to be excited today was open my eyes. I'm telling you. Because God is so good. He is so good. Well, let's go to John chapter 19. We're going to break the word with you this morning. Hallelujah. Open your heart, because some of you are going to get healed right there in your seat. Some of you are going to get breakthroughs right there in your chair, because the resurrected Christ is here walking amongst the candlestick. He's ready to touch your life. Oh, my. My, my. I tell you. Just better announce now. I'm not sure if I'll make it through this sermon. So honey, if I don't make it, you just take over. All right? Because I'm feeling messy already. John 19, verse 30. Oh, go shake. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost, gave up his spirit. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath day was the high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. And the soldiers came to break the legs of the first and then the other that was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that his death had already come, and they did not break his legs. And that fulfilled Scripture, because Scripture said not one of his bones should be broken. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And that's John basically saying that I was there, I saw it, and I'm telling you the truth. And he knoweth that what he saith is true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture says that they should pierce him. And after that, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore, and he took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at first came to Jesus by night, and he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. That's a load, isn't it? That's pretty expensive stuff, too. That's huge. That's like 10 years' wages. It's bizarre. Then they took the body of Jesus, and they wound it in linen cloths and with spices, in the manner that the Jews do to bury. And now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre wherein was never a man laid. And there they laid Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Chapter 20, verse 1. So the first day of the week cometh, and Mary Magdalene, Mary was a prostitute. She had seven devils in her, and Jesus cast the devils out of her, and Mary became one of his attendants. She was one of the disciples. She traveled with him then thereafter and followed him and helped and attended, was a part of the ministry team, which was rather radical for the time. She's one of the ladies who broke in on the Pharisee festival when they were having a little party for Jesus. And she came and she washed his hair with a year's worth of wages, or washed his feet with her hair and a year's worth of wages, broke open a perfume bottle on his feet. And everybody else was livid, but he said, what she does will be remembered forever. Here was a woman who Jesus took her from a place of reproach and elevated her to a place of acceptance, transformed forever. And there was Mary. Isn't it amazing, though, that who's the first one to hear? Isn't it wonderful? Because, you know, the one who's forgiven much loves much. And she was there. And you can imagine the desperation when the one man that actually respected me and honored me is gone. Every morning she would run to the tomb. She came this morning, though. And when she got to the sepulchre, when it was still dark, she saw that the stone was taken away. And she ran then and came to Simon Peter and the other disciples who Jesus loved. And she said to them, they have taken away the Lord. They've taken him from the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. Just feel the desperation there. And Peter, therefore, went, and the other disciple. And they came, and the other one was John. Whenever you're saying the other guy, it's him. They ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, which John is saying, I was more fit than Peter, not to boast. But, you know. He came first to the sepulchre, and he, stooping down, looked in and saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he didn't go in. Yet Simon Peter, you know, Simon couldn't help himself. Maybe he's running so fast, couldn't stop, but he slid right in the door. He went right in. He went in also, and so the other disciple which came first to the sepulchre went in, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they did not know the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. I want to quickly look at Revelation 21, 5 to 7. Revelation 21, 5 to 7 says, and he sat upon the throne, and he said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and these words are faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of living water freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now, I want you to see that, you know, the word says that Jesus cried out from the cross, it is finished, and yet the risen Savior at the end, when he comes and he conquers everything and he is seated as the King of Kings and Lord and Lords and the Alpha and the Omega, he said at the cross, it is finished. But there is a day where he's going to cry out, it is done. And we're living between it is finished and it is done. You know, when they buried Jesus, we read that one verse, and the verse very carefully pointed there, it says that there was a napkin, or there was a linen cloth that was placed over Jesus' face. He was wrapped in linen. They wrapped him up and they filled him with that myrrh, 100 pounds of myrrh. I don't have a napkin. This one's rather large. Although my wife's seen me eat, she says she knows I need one about this size. You know, there was a cloth over his face. This one's rather huge, but it was laid over his face. And it says that the linen, those things were just broken aside and broken and hindered. But it says that the cloth that was over his face, it was folded. It was neatly placed. And you see, if you understand as a servant and as an attendant, whenever a napkin is just tossed on the table, it means I'm done. It's great. I've had it. I'm finished with this whole meal. And the attendant would not dare take anything away until he saw that cloth thrown in. And if he wasn't done, if he just wanted to pause and take a break, they would neatly fold the napkin and put it down. And that was a sign to the servant that I am not done. I mean, I've been eating and I've done a lot so far, but I'm not done yet. You know, I think the detail that the scripture takes to show us that there it was folded, it was neatly folded and laid aside, that speaks to us. Or it would have spoke to somebody in a Jewish culture where he would have said, I've finished the act of redemption, but what I'm going to do is only just started and I'm not done yet. And I want you to know that the work of redemption is complete. He needs to do nothing more for you to be free from your sin or free from your sickness. But what's wonderful is we have a covenant with a living God. And he is a living God who is alive today, and he is working today to enforce that what he did at the cross, the victory that he won for you, he is alive today to be sure that it is applied to your life. And he wants you to come into it. He who gave his own son for you, how much more along with him will he not give you all things? I want to look at some of the things that he's going to continue to do. Some of the things that God's going to continue to pour out in your life. The one thing I want to tell you is, number one, he's still restoring lives. He's restored my life. I mean, I was a mess. I mean, I couldn't even hold myself together. I mean, just messed up, doped up, drunk, thrown in jail. I mean, that was a mess. I know many of you look at me and think, you could have never done that. Butter wouldn't melt in your mouth. I know that. Looks can be deceiving. But I went through some ugly times, and I began to wonder, God, would you ever accept a nut like me? I mean, I should have known better. And yet, you know, I've experienced God coming in my hopelessness and in my shame and coming alongside of me and embracing me and wiping it all away and restoring my life. In this story, I think it's so amazing that Jesus turned. He said, Mary, and she turned and she said to him, Master. I mean, how wonderful must it felt for Mary Magdalene to be the first to see the one who loved him so much, the one delivered of so much, the one who he had taken and elevated to a place of respect. Somebody who was able to hold her head so high, somebody who was so filled with self-respect that she would go right into a Pharisee's home and she would wash his feet with her hair. I mean, in their culture, that was an act worthy of death. That the owner of that house could have taken her outside and just had her killed because she'd breached their laws. But she didn't care. She was so full. She was so full of the love of Jesus. She was so full of self-respect that came from what he had poured into her that she was restored to a place of, I can do anything. There was no fear in her life. She didn't care. The fear of man had been broken off. The shame had been broken off. And she came boldly to worship her God. Isn't that amazing? Then there's Peter. It says in Mark chapter 16, verse 7, that when they spoke to the women there, it says, go tell the disciples to go ahead of me there in Galilee. And then specifically the angel said, and Peter. Don't forget Peter. You know, here's Peter, the guy who said, Jesus, I'll die with you. I'll suffer with you. And I mean, he even chopped off one of the soldiers' ears. I mean, when they came and they said, you know, we're looking for Jesus. And he said, I am he. And when he said, I am he, they all fell out. They all fell out. Can you imagine a whole army coming to arrest Jesus? There had to have been at least 600 men, all with spears, ready to go. He comes, and they say, we're looking for Jesus. You know, are you him? He says, I am he. And all 600, bam, on their backs. I would reckon, why are we arresting this man? This is not good. You read in Mark, you'll literally see that once Jesus, you know, had to rebuke Peter, and he chopped off the ear, and Jesus takes the ear, picks it up, puts it back. Sorry about that, here you go. And these guys are still going to arrest him. I mean, this is a pretty amazing dude. I mean, they're pretty resolute that we're going to arrest this guy. But it also says that there was a boy following him with nothing on. He was naked except for a linen cloth. You know what I think that was? I think that was when Jesus said, I am he. I think the resurrection life that flowed out of the I am. And it was in a garden, and in those gardens, there's tombs. I think there was a boy who'd been buried just recently. When he said, I am, not only did they fall down, but he got up. You know, and all the rest of the guys, they took off and ran away. But then suddenly, there's this kid who's just been raised from the dead going, cool. But it says that the soldiers wanted to arrest him. Why did they want to arrest him? He goes, oh my goodness, another one popped up from the dead. But it says the kid got away. There's power in our resurrection, Lord, when he says, I am. But you know, Peter denied Jesus. Peter denied him three times, and yet we see that the Lord went through such deliberate effort to make sure that he experienced restoration. You know what? You've never gone too far to be restored to his love. You know, you've never gone too far because he's always right there. He's always right there. You just turn around and bang, he'll be looking right in your face. He'll say, I love you. And I've never stopped loving you. And you've never lived an unloved moment. I've been there all the time. And he's ready to lavish things upon you. Oh, but I got to catch up. You don't have to catch up. Immediately, you will be right where God wants you in his purposes. Just turn around because he's a God who's still restoring lives to you. Isn't that great? Woo! He's a God, number two, who's still walking through locked doors. Still walking through locked doors. I mean, after the resurrection, these guys were terrified. They're like, man, they're going to think we stole the body. They're going to arrest us. Oh, no, what are we going to do? And the doors are closed. The windows are locked. They're in there shaking and hiding. And all of a sudden, whoosh, Jesus shows up. Boom! No, that's not what he said. Though if he did, I'd have been wishing I had a diaper on that day. But anyway, it's not what he said. You know, isn't it a good thing? If somebody's going to walk through a locked door and suddenly appear in a room, his next words are very important to you. He said, peace to you. Shalom. I come in peace. Isn't that great? But you know, he's a God who's still walking through locked doors. You could feel like you're locked behind some doors. You got some impossible situations. You're wondering where Jesus is. What's going to happen now? Feel like your whole life's falling apart. I don't know what to do. These things are closed in and hemmed in, and here I am behind this obstacle, and I can't.
I felt all weak in the knees. We were, Darlene, there's nothing better than new converts because they just bring everybody to Jesus, you know. And just with childlike faith, believe that Jesus will touch anything, heal anyone, and deliver anyone. And so Darlene had brought a friend from work who had recovered from breast cancer, and she's now been struggling with liver cancer. And this lady doesn't attend our church. She's a Portuguese Catholic. And she came in, and she just put a demand on Darlene's faith. Like, I'll do whatever I can. I want to be healed. I want to be set free. So we were in the office over there, Tracy and Darlene and myself and this lady. And, you know, how do you minister healing to someone who has no foundation for faith? And all night long, I was praying, like, Lord, how do I start with this woman? You know, I was in fear and trembling because she's putting a demand on what Darlene had said. She goes, I'm coming. I'm going to step out of my comfort zone, and I'm going to come to a church that I don't know anybody. And I just really felt like, wow, this is a huge demand that this woman is putting on us. And we were in ministering, and she was talking to us. I just wanted to ask her a few questions about her faith and her understanding of God and her understanding of what was going to transpire during that day. And she said, I don't really know what to expect. And we prayed, and she said, you know, I pray to God every night, but it's always a one-way conversation. He never talks to me. She goes, I do all the talking. He never talks back. And so we continued on with the ministry, and God really opened up a door and really revealed to us, you know, the attack of the enemy in her life. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and we could just see her whole demeanor and disposition changing right before our eyes. And so anyways, I'm believing, and I know that God's touched her liver, and she's going to be healed. But at one point in time, she said, Mom, we were all finished, and we laid hands on her, anointed her with oil. We put her hands on her hip and or her liver, and Tracy said, I saw her whole face light up and her whole demeanor begin to, like she began to smile. And the lady said, after it all was done, this lady who said that God never talks to her. She said, when during the thing, we'd asked her to just renew her faith in God and renew her trust in God and ask the Holy Spirit to come and reveal himself to her. So when she was doing, Lord, you know, that time of prayer where she was asking God to forgive her sins and asking God for forgiveness for bitterness, she said to us at the end, she said, I had this visual. This lady who never has Jesus talk to her said, I had this visual, and while I was praying, I saw God come in, put his hand on my shoulder. And, you know, I just knew that the healer was in the room. He was there to heal. His presence was there. And he's still walking through the closed door of our life, you know. He's still present to heal. And he can walk through any closed door and heal and touch.
And she had a vision of Jesus, walked in the room and put his hand on her. He said, I love you. I haven't seen Jesus like that. But it says, more blessed are those who believe and yet they haven't seen. So apparently I'm more blessed than those who have seen. So and I'm hanging on to that. Jesus has. Although, Lord, I'd take that. Isn't that awesome? Now, she was a woman who, she was in bondage. Every door was locked. Every opportunity was closed. And Jesus walked in the room and said, nothing's too hard for me. Who? Hallelujah. Number three. There's 24 of these, by the way. Oh, you should have seen the look I just got from some folks. He's still performing miracles. Isn't it great? You know, after that, the risen Christ, he was there at the shore and he yells out to them. They've been fishing all night. There's one thing you can know for sure when you read the Bible, if you read the Bible and you read about Peter. One thing you know for sure is he's not a very good fisherman. You know? I mean, every time we see him out there with his nets, you caught anything? No. How long have you been fishing? All night. I mean, what were these guys doing? Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. You think a lot of them would have said, not with you. You know, but I like catching fish. I hate fishing. Catching fish is good. But you know, here again, Jesus, you guys got anything there? No, got nothing. You know, I mean, the sun's coming up, fishing all night. He says, well, throw your net on the right side. Don't you love it when you've been working really hard at something, you know, and some know-it-all comes by and says, hey, you should do it this way, you know. But they did it, and they got a net so full, I mean, their boat started sinking, they pulled it in, and Peter went, every time I catch fish, Jesus is around. Jesus! Puts on his clothes and jumps out of the boat. Most people take off their clothes, jump out of the boat, but Peter put his on, interesting guy. He's still performing miracles today. My daughter has a diamond on her hand, and she got it from Jesus. You don't wear it today? Oh, you left it at home? She has a diamond on her hand. Jesus gave it to her. Amen. That's really cool, eh? Maybe I've got gold dust in my Bible. God gave that to me. Some others, you know. Sarah has a ring, a diamond. Yes. There's Mike that has a diamond, too. We've had meetings here where we've had manna come. We've had manna. Amen. You know? Well, what's that all about? Well, it's a miracle. What's that all about? We've had, and you know, he's still doing miracles today. What amazes me, he does miracles, and it's amazing to me how many people can just ignore it. Yeah, whatever. Might have had a miracle, but the services are really long. I'd rather go somewhere where the services are shorter and God never shows up. That's what I'm looking for. And he's still doing miracles today. He's still doing things. I was in India, and we had Edgar Bailey was here, and he prophesied over us that God was going to do a sign and a wonder like we had never known or never seen before in India. So I'm over there, and I'm going like, I want to put a demand on that word, right? Amen. I'm like, man, God watches over his word to perform it. So I'm like, I'm looking for it. I'm looking for the word. I'm looking for the manifestation of that word. So I said to Pastor Jacob, I said, you know, God told us that we're going to perform a sign here that's never been done before. That would be really cool. And what do you think we should do? And he said, you know, we've been in a 7-year drought. I went, really? He says, and we haven't had rain. Our wells are so low. He had to go get a larger borehole drilled and go even further down. I mean, he was one of the only houses on the block that actually had water because of the depth of his well. They had periods where the water just didn't come, and they would just be without water. And poor people, you had to buy water. And so, but Jacob would just be giving water away. It was amazing that they had water. But he said, you know, I go, well, let's call forth some rain. He says, well, it can't rain this time of year. And when it can't, he said, not only can't it, it won't. And I went, won't? He said, no. Well, that's great. He said, then let's do it. But he's like, what? So in that meeting that night, Joshua was playing the keyboard and he's playing away, and I just grabbed the mic and started to sing with him. I said, I command it to rain. Let the rains come. Command it to rain. Let the rains come. We call forth the clouds. We call forth the rain. We started just calling it out, just sang it, declared it, prophesied it, let it rain. We had to get on a train and go to another city. Train was interesting. I had to go to another city. Yikes, we're in first class, and it was like cockroach infested. It was wonderful. Anyways, that's just an image. Okay, so But we're going, and then Pastor Jacob's wife called on his cell phone, and she said I was in bed, and I was going, oh, my goodness, those gutters, they just make such a racket, you know? And she was laying there, and she's going, boy, there's got to be a way to change those so it doesn't make such a racket. Then all she went, the gutters are making a racket. Holy cow. She went outside. I mean, it was pouring. It was pouring. It can't rain, Pastor. It can't. It won't rain, Pastor. Well, we're going to command it to rain. We came back 2 days later, and there were still huge puddles on the roof. So much rain came. He's still doing miracles today. I've seen withered arms that didn't get healed. They got completely restored. The lady with a withered arm, I threw my suitcase at her, said, pick it up. She went, ah! And the scream was me. Man, I had a lady who couldn't see. She was blind. I said, the lady's blind. They went, I command your eyes, be open now. I said, what did she say? What's she saying? She's saying, what's she saying? She's saying she can see. I went, ah! He's still doing miracles today. He's still a God doing miracles today. And we should expect more of them. You should expect them now. You should expect them all the time because he is wonderful. And the name wonderful means he is miracle. His name is wonderful. He is a miracle working God. Let's go on to number 22. Oh, we're only at number 4. Oh, sorry. He's still healing the sick today. He's still healing the sick today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's still healing the sick. In his name, in Acts 3:16, they said, and his name, through faith in his name, hath this man been made strong, which you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him, the faith which is by Jesus, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. We see that the resurrected Christ is still performing miracles. He's still healing the sick. He's still raising people up. You can go through the word, and we see in the book of Acts that they continued to heal them. It says that throughout the region, they all came, and the apostles laid their hands on them and healed them all. He's still doing it today. Curtis, where's Curtis? Is he still here? Curtis, stand up on your feet there. That's... I couldn't remember ever meeting Curtis before. When he came on a Sunday night, we had a healing service. I couldn't remember seeing him before, but he came up after we preached on healing, and he stood here in front of us. And then when he stood there, I came, I laid hands on him. And there's just one of those times, sometimes, boy, you lay hands on people, you just go, wow. And I mean, he came up, I hadn't seen him, but when I put my hand on him, bam, I mean, he took it, and he, whoa, bam, and he hit the ground. I went, whoa, cool. And I really didn't know anything about him, talked to him a bit later. He came back to church on Wednesday night, and he came back to me. He says, you know what? You prayed for me. You prayed, and you broke depression off my life. And he said, you know, I can't believe it, but I'm so totally free. And this is what he told me. He said, I've been having a hard time trying to think depressing thoughts. He says, I've actually been so free that I've been trying to, why did I feel so bad, and what got me there? And he says, I was having a hard time trying to even get myself to that place. I am so totally free. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. You know, I think John, is John Orshinsky here? Is they visiting St. Catharines today? They're in St. Catharines today? You know, John Orshinsky was healed of, well, three things, really. It was amazing because he was healed of leukemia. He was healed of MS. And he was healed his back. Stereo. His back. His back had scars on it from the medication that they'd given him. And he had scars on his back. And he came and he said, Pastor, you know what? Even the scars that I had because the medication was so severe, my skin is completely healed. Wow. God's still doing that today. He's still doing it today. Josh Fairweather's not here today either, but Josh Fairweather used to have fits of epilepsy, violent epileptic attacks when he was a kid. And, you know, he got completely healed in a meeting and set free of epilepsy. He went back to the doctor and told his doctor, he says, I've been healed of epilepsy. And the doctor said, Josh, you know, just relax. Now you got to stay in your medication because if you go off your medication, it'll cause a seizure. And he says, then we got to check it out because I'm telling you, I'm healed. And so they scheduled him for a CT scan. And because you can check a person who's had epilepsy, you can scan their brain and you can see every place they've had a fit. You can see the scars of that epileptic seizure. He went and he had the scan. He says that, Josh, not only do you not have epilepsy, there's no evidence you've ever had epilepsy. Amen? His mom said, praise God, he got a brain. Hallelujah. So yeah. He's not here, so we're picking on him. You know. But I'm telling you, that's powerful. And he was with me in Indy. He testified to that. I tell you, that year we had so many healings, so many people. There was such faith on his testimony that there's so many healings took place. So many healings. It's wonderful. I'm telling you, we got Cheryl. Cheryl, she's had these feet, you know, she's hereditary stuff. You know, her dad's got these feet that are just kind of, well, they're beautiful feet, really. They're really nice feet. As far as feet go, I married her for the other part. But anyway, but parts, run the tape back. I married her for the other parts. Okay. But Cheryl had problems with her feet. Her father had arthritis in his feet. He had feet surgery. And Cheryl's like, oh, man, my feet are starting to hurt every time I wear my cowboy boots, or I wear high heels and all that. And she said, you know, this is ridiculous. I'm not having this. We're going to walk in health. We're going to walk in healing, you know. So she just declared it, spoke it over her life. Now she's got her cowboy boots on. She's been wearing high heels, been going crazy, been jogging on her treadmill. Glad she's jogging on it because I'm not. So, but and there's no pain, you know. We said we're not, Arthur, Itis, and all the rest of the family are not hanging out at our place. So they're all gone. So, I mean, she's been totally healed. Cheryl was totally healed of migraines. She used to have terrible migraine headaches. I had to lock her up in a dark room and, you know, just leave her alone, throw her a bone. But totally, totally healed of migraines. Totally. You too. Totally healed. You too. Totally healed of migraines. I mean, is God still healing today or what? Yeah. Healed. Totally healed. Tracy came to us. When she came several years back, Tracy came and we prayed for her. It was early. And Bill and I went over and prayed for her and said, how can we pray for you? She said, I really want to have children, but they've told me I'll never have children. And I went, wow, that's terrible. And she said, you know, my husband's a nice guy and all. And he says, it doesn't matter. He doesn't really care. But I don't want that hanging over our relationship. We prayed for her. And I'm telling you, it was almost 9 months to the day. We had Jesse. Where's Jesse? He's somewhere. He's always in kids' church right now. And then Rhea, hallelujah. And there's more to come. He's still doing miracles, I'm telling you. It's wonderful what God's doing. You know, Bill right here, Bill was in Britain and he wanted to come to Canada and he had to fill out his forms. We filled out the forms. He filled out, wrote on the form that he'd had tuberculosis. And they said, well, you can't go to Canada with tuberculosis. He says, well, I had it, but I've been healed. And they said, you can't put tuberculosis on here. You can't go. So he said, well, we're going to have to get some x-rays. So they got some x-rays and they showed on his lungs and it would show if you'd had tuberculosis. But he had a brand new pair of lungs. He said, I called the elders of the church. They came in. He was at a sanatorium. Sent him down there because he had TB. And they came. They anointed him with oil, prayed the prayer of faith, and he was healed. So he's telling these people, I know I have new lungs, but I'm telling you I had tuberculosis. They said, look, these x-rays say you have no tuberculosis. He says, I know, but I can't lie. I had tuberculosis. But I do have new lungs. They said, look, you've never had tuberculosis. Go to Canada. He's still healing people today. He said it's finished, but you know what? He's not done. He wants to apply that to every life that will open their heart with faith and take it. All right, I got a few more. I'm going to go really fast. You ready? Number 5, he's still pouring out his spirit. Said this Jesus, God raised up, and he's now at the right hand of God, and he's pouring out the Holy Spirit, which you now see. The reason we get a bit giddy, the reason Cheryl almost fell over, the reason my legs are numb right now, is because he's still pouring out the Holy Spirit on us. The Holy Spirit is jealous to come and fill this place and testify of Jesus. And we're still seeing and hearing the word, the prophetic word came out. The tongue came out today. There's still a manifestation of the Spirit of God and the gifts of a risen Savior in the house. He's still pouring out his Spirit. Number 6. He's still saving the lost. He's still saving the lost. Acts 2, 38 and 39 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. For the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, because the promise is unto you and to your children and to all those that are far off. That's not far off in space. That's far off in time. It's to everyone, even as many as the Lord shall call. Woo! I'm excited about how many people in this house, it's your first Easter. I want more people with their first Easter next year. Because you know what? He's still saving the lost. There's a little boy, he'd done some wretched stuff, nasty stuff. His mom had to take him and apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning. And he was like, oh, you know, I wonder if my mom loves me anymore. I wonder if she cares. And they had a little signboard in the kitchen. And in the kitchen there, if you had a message, you would put the message on the signboard if somebody called. And that's the system they use. But he wanted to know that he was, even though he'd done that, he'd been punished, that his mom still loved him. And so he wrote on the signboard, he said, Mom, if we're still okay and you love me, wipe out this message. You know, he went to bed and he got up the next day and he looked at that signboard and it was wiped clear. He went, whoa, my mom still loves me. You know what? God doesn't just cover your sin. He doesn't just say, oh, well, I'll overlook your sin. He remits your sin, which means he wipes it right out. Isn't that great? Your friends may not wipe it out. You may not wipe it out. You may accuse yourself. The devil, he never wipes it up. But you know what? God will never, ever hold it against you. He tosses it into the sea of his forgetfulness. Not that he's forgetful and you might go, oh yeah, you did sin. No, it's not that he's some old man who's losing his way. He chooses as an act of his own will to never, ever bring that up again. He's totally forgiven you and set you free. And he's still forgiving sin. And he's still redeeming the lost today. I got one more because 7 is the number of a perfect sermon. Hallelujah. Number 7, he's coming back again. Yeah. Woo-wee! I tell you, he's coming real soon. You can tell. You can see the signs of the times of what's going on in the world today. I know that my Jesus is coming soon. And because I know that, it's time to populate heaven. It's time to boycott hell. And it's time to manifest the glory of God. It's time, like Darlene's doing, finding people in pain, finding people in hopeless situations, and saying, come on down to New Life. I'm going to bring you into a spiritual clinic. I'm going to set you free. I'm going to open those locked doors. I'm going to bring you into a relationship with a risen Savior, and you need to know him because he's coming back soon. And when he comes back, he's going to declare, it is done. It is done. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. The napkin wasn't tossed in the tomb recklessly. It was folded and set neatly. I'm not done yet. He's going to do a fantastic work in our hearts. I'm so excited about the prophetic word today. He told us he's doing it. He's bringing it forth right now. And we say, yes, Lord. We say, yes, Lord. You know, when you might be here today, I want you to know the napkin's only folded. And I want you to know the tomb is empty. And I want you to know that Jesus is ready and he is willing right now to manifest himself for you. He's here. You know, you don't have to go through this Easter without that touch that you desire. You know, maybe you don't know him. Maybe this could be your first Easter where you could know and you could say, I know Jesus as my personal Savior. You might know about him. You might have done the religious thing, but do you really know him? Have you let him know you? I'd love to introduce you to Jesus in a new way. Just bow your heads right now. Is there anyone here today that you may say that? You may say, you know, Pastor, before you go today, would you pray for me? Because I don't know him like that, and I want to know him like that. I want this to be an Easter where I really come into a living relationship with that risen Savior. But you leave here today, and you don't really know if you're born again. You don't really know if he's your Savior. And I don't want you to leave here if you don't know him. I mean it. I want to persuade you. Everything in me, would you accept him today? You know, it's so easy. You just have to say yes. He's already done everything. And it's not like, well, then after that, I've got to do, do, do. No, that's religion. Religion is do, do, do. See, but a relationship with Jesus is it's done, done, done. And it doesn't mean you got to get on some weird treadmill of pleasing God. Because you know what? He loves you already. And he's going to fill you with his power and his nature. And he's going to bless you with a life that you can never imagine. Say, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I ask you to forgive me my sin. Bring me into a living relationship with my Father. Is there anyone here right now? You don't know. Really, you're not sure. You're not confident that you know him. Would you do something for me? Would you put up your hand and say, pray for me before you go, Pastor? Just put up your hand right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Wow. want you to pray. I want you to declare this boldly. All right. Just say this one. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you came to die for my sin. I receive you now as my Savior. I receive you now as my Lord. The Bible says, if I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, I will be saved. So I declare, you are my Savior. I declare, my sins are forgiven. I declare that I am a child of God. I'm born again. Come fill me with your Holy Spirit. Come and be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you don't have a church, I encourage you that this is a real good one. I like this one. I go here pretty much all the time. If you've got a church, get in that church. You got to get in a relationship with somebody. If you don't have a Bible, don't leave here today. I'll get you a Bible. I've got Bibles for you. I want you to have them. I want you to know Him. I want you to grow in Him. But get in fellowship. Continue to do this. It's good for you. And sometimes the services aren't this long. They're longer. So, but we love hanging out. We love you. If there's anybody here, you got an area that you feel the anointing here to break you loose into something new, that you got a blockage in your life or a locked door or something where you really need a breakthrough, you know, you come. We're going to pray for you. Lana and Carly, they're going to sing and play. And we're going to release the rest of you to go and enjoy a happy Easter. But if you want prayer, please don't go. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to lay hands on you. If you put up your hand for salvation today, would you tell somebody, tell my wife, tell somebody before you go. Tell them you accepted Jesus. Tell the person who brought you, you know what, I put my hand up, I accepted Jesus today. Do that. And if you want any further prayer, come over here. We'd like to lay hands on you. We'd like to release you into the greater things of God. If you want prayer, come on. Well, Heavenly Father, we're so grateful today. We celebrate that you are risen. You're always risen. You're always alive. You're always the great I am. But we especially today just want to say how grateful we are for the resurrection of your dear Son. So, Father, we thank you for your love and for that incredible, wild, bold demonstration of a God who loves his children. And so we're so grateful. And so, Father, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, I send these dear saints to be flooded with the knowledge of the love of the Father, with the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one now and always. Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. If I can get just a few of our leaders come and just help me out to pray here. If anyone else wants prayer, come. We'd love to pray for you. Pray for you now. We're having a wonderful breakthrough today.
Eyes can't see the way you hold me.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Or how I'm here.
Yeah.